let's pray together, shall we? Our God and our Father, we ask that you open our hearts to your word to receive it implanted. That we would be wise in these days of evil and make the most of every opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. We're going to have a two-part series on how confronting evil in our culture and in our lives today. The Apostle Paul says in our epistle that Rich just read, be careful how you live. Not as unwise, but wise. Making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. And I believe we live in a culture today of unprecedented evil, divisiveness, and hatred. Never before in my lifetime, at least since the 1960s, have I seen such vitriol, malice, lack of civility. Both political parties are to blame. And no longer are there any absolutes by which to judge society. Morality has become arbitrary based on the consensus of a community or those that are in power. We live today in a culture that's lost its moral compass. With self-gratification, no matter what anyone does to anyone else, all that matters is the autonomy of the self. And I look at social media, which started out as a real good thing, but in many ways has become a sewer of vitriol and hatred. People today are being dehumanized on social media like never before. So much emotional resentment, diverging opinions, all provide acceptable grounds for discarding someone as toxic. Where does it end? And then we have churches today that teach the Bible is no longer the Word of God or Jesus is the only way of salvation. Instead, it's cafeteria-style religion where people pick and choose whatever they want that meet their needs, that tickles their ears, as Paul says in the New Testament. You have prosperity gospel preachers who teach the gospel is success in this life. God is your cosmic bellhop. The gospel is considered 10 steps to a better life instead of the cross of Christ, which leads for us to die to ourselves. The late Francis Schaeffer said that in order to understand the gospel, we must understand what it is not. The gospel is not just some easy believism where God will accept me no matter how I live. Instead of a call to repentance and faith. I'm amazed sometimes at the ads that, and you've seen him, where Jesus gets us. Okay, he does. But Jesus said at the beginning of the gospel, repent first and then believe the good news. And there seems today to be a rising antipathy towards Christianity in our culture. Anyone who proclaims biblical truth or moral absolutes is considered, well, you're a bigot, or you're out of touch, or you're to be hated. And I fear we as a church have become anesthetized by the increase in violence. I don't know about you, but I was appalled at the murder of Charlie Kirk. I was appalled at the brutal stabbing of a Ukrainian woman on a train and nobody stepped in to help her. The gunning down of an insurance executive because he worked in the health insurance industry. The murder of innocent children in a Catholic school and all these continuous school shooting. And what really appalled me was there were groups that were consenting to their deaths, thinking that this was for a cause. We are living in a culture that celebrates murder. What's happening today? How did we get to this point? People, we need to wake up. We need to understand what's before us. As Jesus said in the Gospels, the time is running short. Pray that you would stand firm. You see, Western society no longer holds the view of natural law, which is God's law built into creation. Natural law holds that there's an objective truth to our existence, a transcendent right and wrong. The Bible says in Romans 2 that God's law is written on everyone's heart, their conscience bearing them witness. And it used to be that our society subscribed to natural law, whether you were a Christian or not. There was a consensus in society that there was a transcendent morality, that there was a right, that there was a wrong. But all that changed in the 20th century with the philosophy that God is dead. That there are no absolutes by which to judge right and wrong. And if chance that there is a God, he's unknowable, or he's not powerful enough to stop evil. And this philosophy bled into theology and into a lot of our seminaries, as the Bible was no longer the Word of God, but a collection of fables and myths. God can only be found in some kind of mystical experience. So if there is no natural law, then we become a law to ourselves. So it's okay to change your sex. Or a man can marry a man. A woman marries a woman. Why not? If there's no transcendent being by which to judge, by which to establish boundaries and guidelines, then we determine what's right and what's wrong. We reserve the right, as the Israelites said, to call evil good and good evil. It's the very same thing Satan said in Genesis 3. No. You will be like God. You set the standards. You determine what it is. You don't need a God because you can be God yourselves. You know, the first century Christians were not thrown to the lions or persecuted because they had a new religion or that they were bad people. They were killed because they confessed that Jesus was the only truth, the only Lord, and they would not acknowledge Caesar as Lord. And I fear today that we as Christians, like the Israelites, get sucked into the world's ways. We buy into the cultural ways. We become anesthetized to the dangers of evil. It's like the frog that's put in the pot of water and the heat is turned on slowly. And it slowly gets hotter and hotter until the temperature increases to the point where the frog finally dies. I fear that our tendency is to look the other way and not call out evil for what it is. So what do we do as a church today? How do we, as Paul says, make the most of every opportunity confronting the evil in our culture? I want to share this morning three takeaways from our readings that you can take with you. First, Jesus says in our gospel, by your endurance you will gain your lives. In other translations, and I like this even better, it says, by standing firm you will gain life. Standing firm means to persevere, to bear up under the load. It means patient endurance in the midst of suffering, trial, or persecution. It means standing up for the truth and not compromising the truth of the gospel. How do we do this? Brothers and sisters, you are children of God's kingdom. Your sins have been forgiven. You have been claimed by Christ in baptism. All who have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. The devil has been defeated. Death has been defeated. Sin and death will no longer harm you because Jesus has overcome them. Therefore, he gives us the power to overcome and bear up against evil. And yes, we'll be persecuted for our beliefs. Paul says in 2 Timothy, all who live a godly life in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Jesus said then in our gospel, this will be your opportunity to bear witness to me. Settle it therefore in your minds not to worry beforehand how you are going to answer. I will give you a mouth of wisdom, which none of your adversaries will be able to contradict or withstand. You will be hated for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, by standing firm, you will gain your lives. You see, we're not left alone. The Holy Spirit is given to us and empowers us in the midst of every evil. That's why Paul said to Timothy, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of sound mind. So stand firm in your faith. Stand firm in the truth. Because God's Holy Spirit has been poured out into our hearts. The second takeaway, walk as children of light. Paul says in our epistle, walk or live as children of the light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good, right, and true. And find out what is pleasing to the Lord. How do we walk as children of the light? Well, we expose what is darkness. We know what the truth of the gospel is. God has come to us. He has claimed us for his very own. And not only do we walk in light, but we walk in love. We're not the ones that go on to the internet and confront people and be vitriolic or hateful. We are people that walk in the light of God's truth. And let me say this and hear this. Walking in the light is not making America great again. But walking in the light is looking at the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, what he did for us. Walking in the light is sharing that with other people. Walking in the light is becoming broken before God, knowing that he is the only source of salvation. The third takeaway is pray. Jesus said in our gospel, pray that you will be able to have the strength to withstand these times. Listen to what Paul says in Philippians. The Lord is at hand. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And also to the Thessalonians, he says, see that no one repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice and pray without ceasing. That means pray, do not stop. God hears our prayers and grants our requests. Jesus was serious when he said, pray that you may escape. One remains prepared when they are watchful by persevering in prayer. Don't stop. You know, the greatest evil was the murder of the Son of God, the sinless Son of God who did nothing wrong. But out of that greatest evil came good for you and for me. Because if it were not for that death of the Son of God, you and I would be lost. But because of that death and because of his resurrection, we have the promise of eternal life. We have the promise, no matter how bad evil gets, God's promises are with us. And he will never leave us nor forsake us. So brothers and sisters, we don't
don't be overcome by evil. But the Bible says, overcome evil with the good. With the good.
You know, Jesus said also in our gospel that as evil increases, he said, when you see these things, look up and rejoice, for your redemption draws nigh. In other words, it's coming close, brothers and sisters. Christ is coming. He is returning to make all things new, no matter how bad evil is. Satan's time is limited. He knows that. So, brothers and sisters, in the meantime, we are called to stand firm in our faith and not waver from the truth of the gospel. To live and walk in God's light, his mercy and his love, and pray for one another that we would endure in these times of evil. God grant us the power to do so in Jesus' name.